Oh, what was the Japanese lesson Iwata was trying to teach us? Was it doshin?
Dokso?
Dokso, yeah, that was it.
I want to hear that again just to be doubly sure.
Okay, yeah. So I was watching one of my favorite programs this morning.
Oh yeah, what's that?
It was called Kanji Lessons with Mr. Iwata.
Oh, is this the same Mr. Iwata from Nintendo?
Oh whoa! I never made that connection.
I know it's like when I watched Reading Rainbow, I never realized that LeVar Burton was Geordi LaForge in Next Generation, even though they're on at the same time.
Huh.
Right?
Mind blown.
Right. Not until I saw the Reading Rainbow episode of Next Generation. We talked about the special effects and stuff. Anyway, so yeah, I imagine you mentioned this because of the Nintendo Direct on Sunday.
Yes, it was a very interesting way to open it. It looked like it was in some kind of it looked like it was in a dojo actually. If you look
right,
at the
wood paneling, it was very man.
Yeah. And he brought in you watched it too?
Yes, of course.
Did you learn today's kanji?
Dokso.
Dokso, which means to be
unique. Yes.
It's one of those words that can have a bad meaning as well.
Yes, like omoshiroi.
Yeah, like omoshiroi, which means interesting, but could also mean interesting.
Just like in English. Imagine
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true. But so I like how Iwata explained that at the beginning. He's like, yeah. I hope you will find it unique in a good way.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. That the skit they had in the middle was definitely unique. I'm not sure in a good way, though.
I thought it was funny, personally.
Okay.
And it was definitely different from most Nintendo videos. But I don't know
yeah.
if... I don't know if it was trying too hard.
Yeah. Or it's like the Joel McHale 3DS viral video.
Yeah.
That seemed like it was trying too hard too. But I still enjoyed it.
I don't know. I laughed.
Both of them.
I laughed though. For those who haven't watched it, go to our show notes.
Yes.
We'll have a link to the YouTube version of it.
Yep.
We can link the Japanese one too. The Japanese one was pretty much the same.
Yep.
They were simulcast, so they both went out at the same time.
Oh, of course.
There was my favorite part was when the old man turned out to be the other player helping with the zombie killing.
I'm glad he's finding work now that he's left our show.
Yes.
we should bring him back, I think. We could probably offer him some more money, or at least more spinach.
Our old man, yes.
I think he's the same guy as on the cover of Phalanx, actually, except for without the beard.
No spoilers. No spoilers. He was old and he needed the money.
Gave it to Locks of Love.
Anyway.
So what were your highlights of this video? Because as we record this, we actually haven't seen the rest of E3. So we are going to talk about this, and it is going to spawn off an interesting topic, I think. But we're not going to talk beyond this video for those who are curious.
Yes.
Not this week. Next week we will talk about more.
I know you're listening to this after E3, but while we're recording this, the only thing of E3 has happened is Nintendo, prematurely starting E3 by showing this video.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems to be kind of a preemptive strike.
Definitely. Well, they're the only ones that we know of anyway at this point announcing a new console at E3. So, well, I mean, they didn't announce it this year, but they're covering it for sure.
Well, there's hints.
Yeah.
That both companies are going to be announcing their new hardware.
Maybe we should stop talking about this so we don't seem silly when it does or doesn't happen.
You're right.
So this video,
hey Sean, you know that prediction I made?
Yes.
It turned out to be totally right.
Which one was that?
All of them.
Yeah, that
but
one.
But we're not going to spoil things.
Yes,
here.
wink.
But anyway, Nintendo got in there and one of the greatest announcements they said was that they were showing the hardware now to kind of so that they could focus on the games at the show. And
sure.
Next week we'll talk about that. But I think it's a smart move.
Yeah.
They did the same with the Wii. Remember, they announced the name of it a couple days before E3 so people could get the sniggering out of the way.
Right. And that ended up working out in their advantage long term. It took me a few more than a few days to...
I still thought it was dumb when I saw the videos. But like, I wasn't like gobsmacked, you know what I mean? I wasn't sitting there going, I can't even focus on the games. I'm too angry.
Right.
But... I mean, that turned out good and then bad. But, yes.
Right.
But, so, they're ready. They put out this video, and what do you think of the Nintendo Pad? I love that Iwata's like, we didn't copy iPad. Seriously. I mean, he didn't say it like that, but he's like, why do we call it the Wii U gamepad?
Yeah.
Well, the colloquial name for an NES controller was the gamepad.
Yeah.
It was. They
like that.
But no one's called it
that for years.
Yeah, it's been a long time since
not this century for sure. Not this millennium.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But I used to call them gamepads.
Yeah.
And I think but like we stopped calling it that around N64 because it was no longer a pad. It was no longer like flat.
You know? Right. Well, I mean, you know, maybe one could argue earlier than that, like with the PlayStation or something. I'm just saying.
Yeah, perhaps. But
it was the first more 3D controller, but it does tie into something we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, but like even like, you know, the Sega Saturn. It was a pad as far as
concerned,
you know,
definitely.
And but once they started getting into more dimensions on the controller and adding the analog sticks, it became the controller.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then like now we've got the wand and the camera.
I don't know.
We've got all kinds of weird.
The bar.
The bar. Yeah, but
the monolith. I think no.
But they kept. But I mean, he was like, "We're not copying the iPad. We're not copying the iPad. Have you seen our iPad?" You know. but I mean, that's fine though. That's fine. iPad is a good idea, and like, I'm glad they're copying things that seem to work.
Yeah. So speaking of iPad, they were. They really wanted to show off the social media features, you know, like in-game you can post to.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. Is it like probably some like Nintendo-specific application or whatever? And they made a very deliberate point of showing somebody interacting with that system on an iPhone.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, here, is this good enough? Probably not.
Smartphone,
it's,
I don't know.
I was pretty sure it was an iPhone with like the case, whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
But, you know, it was very directly trying to grab the people who are complaining about it. I don't think it's going to be enough because it's not a game. It's just a way to interact with social whatever, which you can already do with non-proprietary systems like Facebook and Twitter that have, you know, APIs for actually... talking to those systems. So maybe this is part of that. I don't know. But
what he was saying was it works with every game and it's like in game. It's like built into the hardware.
Yeah.
So like you press a button and there you are. Now, would I be using it on my iPhone outside of the game? I don't know. I guess it depends how many in-game friends I make, you know?
Right. Yeah. I got to admit, because there was no interactivity with the Wii, the whole Mii Plaza thing kind of wore thin after about a year, and I didn't care anymore.
I tried to love it. I really tried to love it. I exchanged Miis with a few people, but then I'm like, okay, I've exchanged Miis.
Yep. And nothing happens.
And what can I do now? I can see them on my screen. I can pick him up. Look, I picked him up. Oh, I can put him down. Oh, I can find out who made it.
And that's it. Yep. Yeah. Are they going to call it the Mii Wada Wada in English?
I hope so. I like that.
I know, but you live in Japan, and I sort of speak Japanese, and I think it's cute. But come on. Is that going to fly in an American audience?
we?
All right, fair enough. But but the fact that they didn't this sort of just like sideways mention that you're going to have an active friends list and see who's online and not have to worry about like friend codes and crap like that. At least not for every interaction that you do. Who knows?
I hope so. But who knows? There might still be friend codes.
Right. But
you might just not have mentioned them. But
the fact that you can interact with people it's not revolutionary, but it's like an about damn time move.
Well,
really.
I mean, they made good inroads to that with the 3DS.
Right. And yeah. If you haven't been using all Nintendo's hardware since the Wii came out, then you're missing out on what they're trying to do with their connectivity. That's true.
And they talked about how this Nintendo Network would extend to the 3DS as well. I'm sure firmware update, you know. And they've already had that drawing system where you could share notes and watch how they're being drawn.
Mm.
And, oh, man, there's going to be so many dicks.
It's all right. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's the majority of things that's going to be sent. And I'm not sure how Nintendo's going to balance being able to send pretty much any picture or any screenshot to another user. That's why I think friends codes are definitely not dead.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because if you're playing an M-rated game, can you send it to somebody who's not of M age, you know, for the screenshot? I don't know how it's going to work, but I think it's a step in the right direction. Not drawing dicks. I mean that their Nintendo's getting a little less draconian with their.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to protect those 14-year-old kids from the adults who would send the pictures of dicks, or probably more accurately, you got to stop those 14-year-olds from just sending it out to any random family man that's just trying to play Halo.
Yep.
God. I guess not Halo in this case, more like, you know, I'm hoping. God, well, I'm jumping the gun a little bit here because of another controller. I'm hoping that other games are going to get ported over, but let's hold off on that for a second. What else caught your eye and or ear?
I mean, they want to make it as inexpensive as possible, and they want to make it, you know, light, but it would be nice if the screen was a little bit bigger or a little bit higher resolution, because they're selling this thing as an HD system, but the screen itself is SD, and that'll work with some things, but
when it's that small, there's no reason for it to be HD.
Have you seen the new iPad?
Okay, fine, but it is, and the new iPad's huge, like, you know,
and it's
expensive. But like, you know, there's no reason to get like a 1080 1080p HDTV unless you're sitting so many feet away from it, because it doesn't, you know.
It's true, but basically what I worry about is if they're streaming two different resolutions at the same time, if it's going to have to be converted to the SD, otherwise the assets won't look right, you know.
Okay.
The text won't display correctly, things like that.
Man, I wish we were going so we could ask questions like this. Like, is this separately rendering the video format differently, or is it just down converting it from the full HD resolution?
Now, if it's basically just a mobile monitor, that would definitely cut down on processor, taxing the processor.
Right.
But then we're looking at something that is not displaying the way the developer wants it to look, you know.
So there are questions like, is it just getting streamed video, or is it getting streamed bits like a 3D graphics card, like in the controller, and is it doing the rendering there?
I'm guessing very much that there's not much hardware in the pad itself.
To make it cheap as possible is probably true.
So I'm sure most of the rendering happens there, but like, if it's got to be like doing simultaneous rendering.
Well, yeah, but that's how split screen works anyway. You know, when you're playing local multiplayer, that's not a big deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, for some of the hardcore games, though, that might not be a problem at all, or a big problem. We'll get into that in just a second.
Sure.
What do you think of the play? This was a big thing on the internet. People kept talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. It's about the click sticks. And
God.
Will it have click sticks? Will it have click sticks?
Yeah, and it does.
If it doesn't have click sticks, I'll kill someone. You know, it's very...
Without your click stick? Unlikely. Yeah, so they have click sticks. Whatever, I don't care. Like, so Nintendo didn't have click sticks the last couple generations, and you know, PlayStation did. I don't care. It's they have it now. You know, everything's equal.
Yep, and now I can use it just like I use it all the time with my PlayStation 3.
Never.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad they have it. I mean, because if some games need it, it worked pretty well in Katamari Damacy for some things, for the quick turns. But like in general, when I'm playing a game, if it requires click stick actions, I can never just hit it straight on. I'm always like, it screws up my precision.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm used to it in Halo, though. You know, it's part of the walk stick.
I don't play first person.
So shooter, you can crouch, zoom with the shoot stick. You know, I'm used to that. So
well, then it's good that it has it.
But you're not going to see Halo on a Nintendo console anyway. So
the placement of the sticks, I think, looks better. It's a little more out there. I don't know. It looks like, and they showed the back, and it looks kind of like it would be comfortable to hold.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not that concerned about it. Like, it's just ergonomic stuff. I'm glad that they changed it. I don't know if they needed to spend 5 minutes talking about it in the video, but it's out there. So,
The other main new addition is the near field communication.
I was going to say, because you know, if they're worried about making this thing cheaper, isn't that an expensive part to put in?
Not super expensive. It's not free, but like probably if I'm guessing that a lot of the guts for this controller are the same as like cell phone parts.
Sure.
You know.
Aren't cell phones expensive though?
Not cheap ones. I don't know. But like their processor might already like have the hardware in it, you know, if they pulled something off a rack, you know.
Okay, true.
I don't think Nintendo usually makes its own silicon, you know.
Right.
So,
well, okay. So they have this now. I'm going to play ignorant because I am ignorant about this subject. Okay. What the heck would I use it for?
Well, here's what I can imagine. You buy a Wii points card or Wii U or Nintendo points card, and you don't have to type in any code. You just run it along the bottom.
Okay. But I mean, what is the technology that's being, it's not like a magnetic reader, right?
Oh, it's there's a little chip in these cards, and it's it sends a small signal that writes to this chip,
okay,
or back and forth. It can only send a very, very small amount of data, though.
Right.
Let's equate it to. Do you remember how you could save a Mii in your Wii controller?
Yes.
Or little bits of other data, but like it was like a total of 8K of data or something.
Right.
Think about it like that, like a very small amount of data.
Okay.
And so it would be enough data for I know what you can think of it like. Do you remember the card reader for Game Boy Advance?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You could swipe 35 cards to play Donkey Kong.
That was optical though. That was
It was, but like each card only contained a very small amount of data.
Right.
But it was fine for like barcode battling games or something, you know.
Sure.
Like, it. So for this, if they had Pokemon cards with those built-in chips, you could swipe your card right over your controller and, you know, get that character unlocked or something like that.
Right.
That's what I see it. I mean, I see it being used for points cards, definitely.
Yeah. So
And Japanese kids are nuts about games that use right now barcode scanners. These arcade games, they have Dragon Ball and One Piece and Kamen Rider. They go to the arcade and they scan their cards.
Okay.
And they have special abilities or characters. I think Nintendo's really going to try to hit that market hard.
Well, that explains the write or the read capability. What about the write capability? Like what would it write to that would be useful?
Well, it can write to the chip right on the thing. So theoretically, if you have like a character card, like that you've got an RPG and you've made a character, you could write to it and then you could bring it over to someone else's house.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
Or if you have Pokemon, you can level up the Pokemon to the cards, and then when you bring them to the arcade, or to a friend's house, you've got your leveled up cards right there. You don't have to bring a memory stick. You don't have to bring, you know.
So they've built like an N port memory stick that holds a limited amount of data.
Yeah.
So that you don't need to build, like, you know, Microsoft has those USB ports and all that stuff. You don't need those to. Then isn't there the cloud? Shouldn't they be embracing that instead with all this web connectivity and everyone else is already doing it? I don't know.
Well, I mean, they could.
Who wants to lose their data because they forgot where they put their card?
Well, yeah, but I think the thing is it's more based on the e-transaction one, which cloud is confusing compared to swiping a card.
Not to me, Grandpa.
Well, okay, here's the thing. You go to a convenience store, you buy a Wii Points card for $30.
I don't do that. I just buy them with my credit card online.
Okay, I'm saying you is like
okay.
People in general. Because kids don't have credit cards.
Right.
Like, the expanded audience is not nerds, you know, not geeks. And in Japan especially, not everybody has credit cards. It's not a thing everybody has, you know. So what they can do is, you know, or people with bad credit history who can't use their credit cards anymore.
So this is a feature for people in Japan and not much else.
I don't know. I'd say kids under 18 in America who don't want to ask their parents whenever they want to buy Wii Points.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Okay.
You know, you can't. Not everyone in America has a credit card until they're of, like, adult age, so.
Right. Well, maybe.
So anyway, you buy your card at the store, you take it, you touch it against your pad, points transferred, done.
All right.
Even online is not as easy as that. Because you go online, you enter in your credit card number using the. Although it would be a lot easier with the pad, you could just type in numbers. But it was a pain with the Wii controller.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think I put in my credit card number every time, do I? I don't remember.
You have to every single time.
Oh, that shows you how recently and often I bought point cards.
So that's how you would buy point cards, and it would also be a way for this is just my thought, a way for game stores to stay somewhat relevant.
Yes,
you could get hard for downloadable content.
Right.
I mean, you do that now.
Well, someone does.
You have to make all these accounts and blah blah blah.
Right.
Like it just adds to the ease of use thing. But I think more of it's going to be in the collectible card type gaming type thing. I definitely think there's going to be a Pokemon that utilizes these cards.
Monster Hunter.
I don't know about Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter is for slightly older kids. Probably a Dragon Quest game, because there's already a Dragon Quest like card based thing in Japan. So
okay.
And they already have coins, Pokemon coins that use. I don't know if they're using near field communication, but they're using something that's not a barcode. They've got little chips, and they play these Pokemon battling arcade games where they just throw down their coins and like the monsters come out of them or whatever.
Mm.
Another thing is, you know how Nintendo was trying to do the augmented reality?
Right.
With the 3DS?
Right.
Well, now those cards don't have to just be a card that's scanned. They could actually contain an amount of data on them.
Oh. I guess.
So, if you wanted to level up one of your monsters there, you know, the card itself would contain some data about how it's been doing, you know.
Huh, all right.
But, you know, that's not a... I mean, these are some things that I'm thought of. Nintendo might very well be like, it's just for points.
Well, if they although as part of the dev kit, I'm sure that developers can find creative uses for it as long as they, you know, want to foot the bill for the physical media you need to. Well, whatever. We'll see.
Well, that is if there are any third-party games on the Wii U.
Okay. I think that's a good transition point then, because if that's everything for like the new things that bring Nintendo into the future, or at least the present, what about this something that's going to throw it back and just put the kibosh on all of this stuff that they're trying to do?
Well... Okay, it depends how widely this is adopted, but
right,
they announced one more controller today.
Oh,
Now,
you don't say.
Now, it's not going to be in the box. Like, they've had before. They've had, you could buy the Controller Pro, or, like, I don't know, for GameCube, you could buy, like, a WaveBird, or, you know, I mean, like, there's always been optional controllers, but this one is unique. Wait. No, it's not unique.
No, it's not unique at all.
Tell me about it, Sean.
I tell you about it? Well, they have licensed an Xbox controller to... Ah, no.
No,
they've... Yeah, the Pro controller, it's called the Wii U Pro controller. I mean, it's, you know, that's the big complaint right now. It's like, everyone's like, oh, Nintendo should have a more classic style controller that's, you know, so we can have third party games and stuff.
Not everybody wants to use a Wiimote, yeah.
Right, yeah. And then they finally get it, and it's like, oh, it looked like Xbox. I am so angry now. It's like, all right, this is what I want to say first, okay? Is that this is, well, first of all, it's like the old classic controller for the Wii.
Yes.
Right. So that's the first thing. Secondly, the reason why it looks like an Xbox controller is because the Xbox controller and the PlayStation controller look like, and the Dreamcast controller even, look like a Super Nintendo controller. So any similarities?
Wait.
What? The button layouts.
Oh, the button layout.
Yeah, you have the control pad, you have the start select button or something in the middle, and then you have, you know, A, B, X, Y, or, you know, B, A, Y, X in this case.
I saw a good picture of kind of a melding between the Super Famicom controller and this. We should put that in our show notes.
I mean, and
a look at our show notes.
Yeah. So you know, this is, except for the classic controller for the Wii, this is basically the first time that Nintendo's sort of acknowledge that they came up with the best controller design ever and has since ignored it. But all the other competitors out there have not, and have, you know, made incremental changes and improvements to it. And I, you know, so if it looks like the 360 controller, so what? Yeah. It's the best controller out there this generation for, you know, classic.
But I mean, that's totally true. You know, Sega went with their, like, two rows of button strategy with the Mega Drive. Well, actually one row. In the first one, the three buttons all in a line.
The Mega Drive is the Japanese Genesis, for those who don't know. FYI.
Yes. So, yes, Nintendo with the Super Nintendo did the original diamond shape pattern.
Yep.
And then Sony used the diamond shape pattern with their X, zero, star, bologna sandwich. I don't know, whatever those are.
Right.
And then Microsoft did it too, but when Nintendo came out with the N64, they put two buttons. They had the diamond buttons there, but they were like supplementary buttons, like for operating the camera.
Camera up, down, left, and right. Which were fine. They had six face buttons like the Genesis controller.
Yeah. But they were different though. And for those who are saying the Genesis controller didn't have six buttons, the revision did.
Yes.
And that was the controller that was the inspiration for the Saturn controller. Sorry, I had to throw that in. Okay.
right.
But Nintendo's, like, the diamond setup being a main, you know, the main, not supplementary one, didn't really come back until the classic controller.
I guess, you know, it's been on the DS since its inception, but that's a handheld device and whatever.
Yeah. So. But one thing, though, that makes the Xbox controller not like a Super Nintendo controller is in the space that normally would be reserved for the diamond button layout, they put a control stick.
Yeah. So they swapped the two areas. So I guess it's more like a PlayStation controller with the button layout.
Yeah.
Again, big deal.
But the ergonomics are much more like a 360 controller.
Yeah. So with that complaint out of the way, what's the real problem here? Not the button layout. The fact that this controller even exists is going to cause potentially so many problems. But maybe I think Nintendo had to do it is the thing. They had to offer this controller because they're losing so much third-party support because people don't want the waggle. Or developers don't want to have to depend on it, I guess.
The rumor is that after the dev kits went out, developers pretty much said, great hardware. That's nice, Nintendo. We can think of a couple really interesting uses for this pad, but do you want all the games we're making for the other systems? because some of them will work and some of them won't.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, there were other barriers like the graphics capability. You know, they had to do like PS3 or PS2 ports, or make entirely new graphics for it, which they didn't want to do in a lot of cases. So now that the graphics are going to be on par, roughly, with what's out there now, and hopefully with what comes out next, Nintendo is going to have a good time keeping up. But then they have to have a matching control scheme. So, and what does this actually mean, though? I think it means one of two things. It means that either the Nintendo stuff that they want to push, that only they're going to make now, is going to be completely ignored, and it'll find success in third-party games that will use this other controller exclusively, or only Nintendo will make money on the system because all the third parties trying to make money with their usual stuff from other consoles will have to compete with other things like online usability, which the Xbox at this point, from what I've seen, even though it's better on the Wii U, Live is still going to win that battle. And, you know, if they make a Mass Effect 4 that uses my game save data, I'm not going to buy it for the Wii U.
Well, of course. I thought Mass Effect was done. Okay, your example. But,
yeah, it's an example, and they might make a non-Shepard Mass Effect anyway.
Okay, but anyway. Oh, crap. We mentioned Mass Effect again.
Well, it came up organically.
Sure. So I think the problem that comes down to it for me is that it is fragmentation.
We've half an hour into the show, we get to our topic.
Yeah, only a half hour. That's pretty good.
You know, E3 news is important.
I'm worried about this.
Sure.
Like, Nintendo has been better than most when it comes to fragmentation.
Yes.
But
they arguably started it. Arguably.
I don't know. The several different versions of like SG-1000, SG-3000. So Sega.
Well, they didn't really fragment it, because every successive console could play the previous console's games. It's just that the hardware sales probably suffered, not the game sales.
Oh, but like the new stuff couldn't be played on the old systems, though.
Oh, there is that, and the old stuff. Why play it when you can play the new stuff? Okay, so there's that too.
But anyway, right. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Are we? I think that's the beginning, isn't it? The 8-bit era.
We're getting behind ourselves.
Okay. Right.
But basically, what fragmentation means is it's something that's beyond the system itself, but that is required to do certain things. Or that breaks up the market into those who have the ability to play this and those who don't.
Yep.
Let's think of some. Now, if we want to go back to one of the first types of fragmentation, I guess, you're right. We are at the exact place we want to be right now. The Famicom disk system.
Yep.
Which is arguably the most successful, like, lock-on component.
I don't think there's any argument. I think it's just true.
Because it sold to approximately, I don't know, let's see, it sold, what, 2 million some? Install base at the time was like 7, 8 million. I don't know. You know, a good chunk.
Mm.
But it's still recorded as Retro Gamer, which featured interviews with us.
Yes.
Mention. Yes. Please look at that edition, everyone.
It's from 2010, right? Which issue was that?
It was the one with the interview with John Romero. It's the Wolfenstein on the cover issue.
The only time we've ever been mentioned on the same page as John Romero.
Anyway. So far.
So far, yeah.
But anyway, they did an interview with us. But despite our efforts to kind of defend the system, the overall idea of the article, and we can link because it was reposted online.
It's on NintendoLife.com. Yep.
Yeah, let's link that one. So check our show notes. But overall, the tone of the article was that it was a failure, despite it probably being the most successful of a series of failures. Now, you could say that Kinect was a success as well.
Nintendo pushed it so hard. Did I ever tell the story of trying to get the new designed Xbox without the Kinect?
You've mentioned it.
I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just going to say it was difficult. because they really pushed that very, very hard.
That's the thing, though. And that's the only way you can really do it. Like, the only way you can really do that. That was the big scare with the 3DS when they released the circle pad.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, you know, it breaks up the audience. Like, if the game requires that and you have to have that, you know, not everybody can play every game.
So no games require it then, and then it's just like, why did you spend the time making it? Which is arguably why they didn't, like, release the 64DD.
Yes.
And other technologies like the CD-ROM system.
Yeah.
But
CD-ROM system, that's a whole nother episode.
Literally we are going to talk about that, but yep.
Yes, 64DD, horrible failure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, cuz it did come out in Japan, it did not come out in the US.
Yep.
So there's that. And then
Satellaview, not a horrible failure, but because it was really kind of a system of its. It kind of did its own thing.
Right.
But.
Right. Well, I think the best example of how badly this can fail is the 32X, or just like the Genesis / Mega Drive add-ons in general.
Yep. The stack.
Oh God, I have the stack. I have the CD. I have a 32X. I have one game that requires both of them.
Yep. Was it the 32X version of Night Trap or
no?
Like,
it was Scottie Pippen's Slam City, which later I found out actually has a non 32X version that you can play. So what's the point? I like just looking at the box art, I can't tell a difference. I should probably just pick up the game and play them separately, and see if I can tell. But if you try and play the 32X version without the 32X, it's you don't see any video because it's supposed to be like the higher color depth and whatnot. That's the only reason that it's required for this. And there's like four other games that use it, I suppose, but I've never...
I think there was like an enhanced version of Night Trap or another game by Digital Pictures, you know, one of those, you know, full motion video games.
So basically, I don't think anyone really released a game exclusively for that format. They just like released better versions of ones that were already out there, I guess, is the thing to get from that. So it's even worse than that. There weren't any games that like were released and nobody bought them. They're just advanced versions of ones they didn't have to get, because why buy a 32X in the first place? There's no reason to.
Well, the 32X cartridge games, mainly the reason the 32X existed was so that they could port Virtua Fighter. I mean,
that's
they wanted
nice.
Virtua Fighter, and the Saturn wasn't ready, but the 32X wasn't ready either. And the 32X and Saturn, they thought could coexist, although the 32X was dead and buried before Saturn really came out, but...
The marketing made it seem like a brilliant idea, but, you know, the practical reality is that you have, like, you know, a subset of a subset of a type of gamer who's, why, you know?
Yep.
They released their own brand of Power Strip just so that you could have all four things plugged in at the same time.
Yep.
Is it four? Console, CD, 32X.
Let's see.
Oh, and TV.
32X. Yeah. The 32X, yeah, had its own plug, a huge plug too.
Mm. Yeah, not so good. So that was a bad idea. We'll just put that out there.
But I mean, even things that are more recent, the PlayStation Move.
Yeah.
You know, some developers used it, but overall, I don't think the next PlayStation's going to. Unless they decide that the next PlayStation is a wand thing.
See, you can't go on down this road because E3 is not over for us yet. Who knows what they announced?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Man, we totally called that.
Yeah, that thing.
That they either were or were not having that.
Yep.
So when you get into fragmentation, it's really, really bad for the consumer.
Yeah.
Because you have consumers being confused. It's like one of the reasons people console game in the first place is so they don't have to think about system requirements.
Yeah, exactly. And if you
Does
have all
my
these
graphics add-ons? Card support this. Remember the expansion pack for the Nintendo 64. Some games required it. Some games just were made better. Like you could play Perfect Dark without it, right?
No.
You could play the single player or something like the GIMPed version.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I think that's what you could.
Yeah, there were two things you could do, but that was it.
But like Donkey Kong 64, you couldn't play at all without it, so they packed it in with it.
That's the only good thing, is that at least in Nintendo's case, where they decided to use the technology, it was a pack, and like the Rumble Pack.
Rumble Pack was a pack in. Wii Motion Plus was a pack in. But Wii Motion Plus is a classic example of things not working. Wii Motion Plus is great. It's so much better than the regular controller. But first they added it as an add-on, and some people bought it, but like, not everybody. So a game maker could never really use it. The only few games that used it were like Wii Sports Resort, which came with it, and like a couple third-party games. But I don't think there was, other than Wii Sports Resort, I don't think there was any game that absolutely required it. Maybe Skyward Sword. Red Steel 2. Maybe Red Steel
Skyward
2.
Sword.
Yeah, Skyward Sword required it, yeah. And by that time they had a version with it built in.
Yeah.
But it was too late in the lifespan, and it's something that they probably should have just waited for the next console to do.
Well, okay, but they're compatible on the next console, and you just mentioned something that made me realize that it's still going to be an issue, because if you can use all of your Wii peripherals, then who's going to want, if they already have four Wii controllers that don't have a Wii Motion Plus, why would people want to upgrade? So they still have to program to the lowest common denominator.
Exactly.
And so you still can't require Wii Motion Plus control, or if you do, you're going to have a problem.
Even Wii U is going to have waggle control built in, because there's more of those out there than Wii Motion Plus controllers. Way more. I don't know, like, I like to be able to recycle, and I don't have a lot of money, and I don't like this concept, but I think Nintendo should require that controllers compatible with the Wii U be at least have Wii Motion Plus.
And they could, and it's going to cause some problems for them.
They need to cut the cord there, because otherwise they're going to have a lot of problems.
But Vink, it's already wireless.
Yep, that was the sound of the air escaping from everyone. All right, but fragmentation's a problem on mobile platforms too.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a good example of the lowest common denominator problem.
Okay, so we're both iOS users, and we should admit that right away. But I will say that Android has some pretty amazing phones as well. The Galaxy 3 looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. And Ice Cream Sandwich, the newest version of the Android software, is very cool. It finally fixes a lot of the problems in the old versions with smooth scrolling and stuff like that.
Oh, great, great.
And in many ways, it's better than iOS 5.
Oh, so it's great that Google requires everybody to upgrade to the latest version of their OS, right? Oh.
All right, here's the thing. Ice Cream Sandwich, which is an OS that's been out for, how many months now? 9 months? 6 months?
Since last Something. Year?
Yeah, since last year. Is now only on 7.1% of Android devices. The version that's on the most is Android 2.3, and that's on 64% of devices.
I mean, say what you will about, you know, the totally vertical solution, but not necessarily requiring that devices get upgraded, but like targeting certain kinds of software that everyone's going to want, like killer apps that need a newer version of the OS to operate. It works. Yeah. Like, you know, I had my iPhone 4. I'm now running 5.1.1.
Yes.
Point one, yeah, I think that's right. and you know, that's like, somehow Apple was able to solve that problem, at least for the most part. And you can still
they have a bit of fragmentation. I mean, basically Apple's given you 3 years of leeway. Like, you can still run the newest version of software on an iPhone 3GS, but the 3G and the original iPhone can't run anything past 4. Actually, I don't think the first one can run 4.
Right. Right, it can't.
But the thing is, it's fragmentation in a way, but what's worse about the Android fragmentation is new devices are not shipping with Ice Cream Sandwich.
What?
Some are.
What?
Like the Nexus, the Galaxy. But that's the problem. It's not that people are choosing not to upgrade. It's that they cannot upgrade.
Well, that's just
Because Google releases this as an open source thing, so it's up to the developers to decide whether they can make an ice cream sandwich version for their device. So a lot of new phones coming out right now, currently on sale, can't use anything past it's called Gingerbread is the version that everyone's using.
Okay, man, I have my MacBook, and I went from Leopard to Snow Leopard to Lion, yep. And now what, yep, is there, Dandelion's the next one? I forget.
I think it's like Mountain Lion. Mountain Lion. Isn't a Mountain Lion like a cougar, first one?
There's an XKCD comic about like the relative coolness of each name, and like, you know, Mountain Lion was a step backwards. Although I think Dandelion would have been great because it could have been like, "Hi, I'm a dandelion. It's fabulous." No.
And then after that, they could move to Orchid, and that's where the Apple finally buys Rare and gets Killer Instinct on it because it's the Orchid from Killer Instinct who's the icon.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Okay, we're done with that. Okay, but so the problem with this is like, that's fine. Like a lot of Android fans write, well, it's fine. The system is good enough. People don't, you know, even people who can upgrade sometimes don't. But here's where the problem comes down.
Yeah.
If 64.6%, which is what it is, we'll link this article too. Please check our show notes.
Yep.
If 64.6% of users are using that system, how many developers are going to develop for Ice Cream Sandwich, which currently represents 7.1%?
No one.
Pretty much no one. Other than like a company who's making exclusive apps to a phone like a Samsung Galaxy, which has it as the default operating system, you know, something specific to their service, they'll use it. And they'll use the new features. But everybody else is avoiding APIs that make it not compatible with the version most people have.
If they can't do what Apple's doing and get people to upgrade because they can't upgrade or they're not shipping it with new phones, then there's absolutely no reason to do it.
Exactly. So basically, developers are making games that maybe some – I suppose cleverer developers might make different versions. But for the most part, developers are sticking with APIs that work for Android 2.3 or 2.3.2 or whatever it is that is Gingerbread. This was not meant to be like starting a smartphone flame war because, as I said, Ice Cream Sandwich is wonderful. And I think that if it was adopted more, it would be great. But what happens is developers just cannot support the newest thing, and that's what I'm worried about here with Nintendo. Because they're launching basically two different things. Okay, so if you buy this controller, you can have an Xbox-like game experience, so you can play those games. But the controller doesn't have a screen. So which do you want to do? Do you want to make a hardcore experience, or do you want to use the thing that we're advertising as the main feature of this system, which is that touchscreen?
Nintendo's in this weird position, right? Because everyone is going to have the tablet because it's going to come with the system, right?
Yes.
And nobody is going to have the Pro Controller unless they go out and buy it. So
I'll buy one. It looks great.
I'll buy one too, but it's a cost above and beyond the base console. So even if they release it for like $250, $300, whatever, there's like another $50, $60 purchase they have to make to play any other third-party game out there that would possibly use it. And so if that becomes like the norm for the console, then there's like a problem. It's like, do we include this as a packet in the future? Does it drive up the cost of the console? Do we not include the tablet? They can't not include the tablet. It's the main feature of the console. So
yeah, they have to. And then who has Wii Motion controllers? Who has Wii Plus? Do we need nunchucks anymore?
Right.
You know, is the sensor bar still a 2-point? And some of these questions will be probably explained by the time you're hearing this podcast. But in general, if I was Nintendo, I'd take a little bit of a hit right there, and at least for the launch systems. I mean, they could take it out later and make like more specific systems, but for the launch systems, I say they should put that controller right in the box.
Right. Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. Even if they announce strategies like that, they're just strategies. We're not going to know how it shakes out for a while. So I think we're safe to speculate at this point because, you know, yeah. it might fail spectacularly if they do something like that. And if they don't, then they're going to still have these problems. And I just, man, I'm trying to think of some scenario where, like, somebody wins here and I can't.
Okay, Sean, let's go to the future now for a little while.
Okay. Let's see. How about 2017?
Oh, maybe? that's
too far.
Maybe that's a bit far. Let's go to shortly after the system is launched, and you know, right. We're playing one of the launch titles that they're going to announce at E3. Right. Let's say we're playing the multiplayer component of Shenmue 3. Come on, you can do it. Come on,
because we've totally seen all of E3 at this point, and we know it's coming.
We know.
Wouldn't it be great if it was? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we called it. I mean, and if it doesn't, ironically. Okay. So I'm like, so come on, come over to my house, and we're gonna play this game, okay? Just okay. bring your controller over. Now, here comes the new question. Which one? Because depending on the type of game we have, we might not have four of this controller, or it was already a problem with the nunchucks. Remember that?
Yeah. So here, well, no, let's stop for a second and think that they hadn't even, at least as of E3 last year, that they couldn't even do multi-tablet support.
Yeah.
So assuming they do, you'd have to bring your tablet over because how much is it going to cost to buy a new one? And yeah. How many games are going to require to... I'm going to say it's the Pro Controller just because more people are probably going to be cheaper and more people can possibly adopt it. But which games can use it?
Exactly.
I don't know. And, launch titles?
And does using the tablet give you an advantage over the Pro Controller? Because if you can activate, say you're playing a first-person shooter, and on the tablet controller you have like maps or, you know, a quicker access to your inventory. Does that give you an advantage over players playing on the non-screen controller?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. It's like they can just for the single player experience, you know.
Yeah.
Not even thinking about like playing at a friend's house. Like, you know, would you play a game that had extra features on the controller that you could just pick up because you have it?
Yeah.
But you don't want to use it. Because even though it has all the same buttons, it's just this huge clunking thing and you don't want to deal with it. Like do you just stop making the games have those extra quote unquote features, even though they're baseline features?
That's the scary thing. That's what I'm worried about. Okay. Take Monster Hunter Tri, which came out for the Wii in Japan. In Japan, the version that sold out instantly was the one that included the controller, the Monster Hunter controller with it.
Okay.
But most people who played that game played it with the classic controller. So basically, Nintendo was saying, like, Monster Hunter, that's the game you wanted. We made a version for the innovative controller that we've been trying to sell you for the last 3 years, telling you that hardcore games could be played on it, but... we're going to pack in this different controller instead, you know?
Yeah. And then Tri-G had the circle pad, which we mentioned already, right? So
yeah. Now, they can sell because it's Monster Hunter, and people will buy special things to play Monster Hunter. But but it's basically like Nintendo going, I guess we made a platform that can't play Monster Hunter.
Yeah, well, you know, Monster Hunter, unlike other games that would possibly make people want to buy a Wii U, it's you know, just for the one console, right? Or at least initially, just for the one console.
Yeah, usually.
You know, the things that would attract people to a Wii U that they've been playing on other systems are still going to be available on those other systems, and they're not going to have this extra burden of buying a new controller. I mean, you can play any quote unquote hardcore game with the tablet because it has all the same buttons. Let's just get it out of the way right now.
Yeah, let's.
You don't need to buy the Pro Controller because you have one that will work. But if you really insist on getting one of these things, it's an extra cost. I don't know. This is the whole thing is silly. I'm sure it's going to shake out interestingly. I'm pretty sure, given Nintendo's history, the losers are going to be the third parties. But
that's the thing, because if a third, like, if the third party wants to make innovative games for the system, they've got it. They want to use everything that Nintendo has, so they'll make it for this thing. But then it has to be different from the port.
Right.
That alone is
incentive for doing that if nobody's going to use the different part? Why not just do a straight port and be done with it?
Exactly. Which means that the only people who are going to make use of the little screen and everything will be Nintendo itself, mm-hmm. which was pretty much the same with the people who really, really utilized the Wii controller.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of games just had you turn it on the side or something, or use the nunchuck, and, you know, motion controls were, like, you know, downplayed.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the only thing I can think of, the only saving grace of that tablet, is that you can play it streaming without using the TV. If that's attractive to people, if it's good enough of an experience for an HD system.
One other big advantage.
Okay.
Oh, come on. You must have thought of this.
I'm too flustered right now to think about
it. Well, obviously it's to visit adult websites.
I can do that on my computer.
Yes, you can, but here's the thing. Did you see that button you can hit and to put the curtains up on the screen? So, like, you know, you're on your TV, you're watching the stuff, and you're like, oh, crap, Mom and Dad, quick, put the curtains up.
Are you kidding
switch
me?
Switch it to a Sesame Street site. Okay, open the curtains.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up this week. There's going to be more E3 news coming out. We'll talk about that next week, a week after everyone else is talking about it.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's keep talking about it. Why don't we get a little thread going on in our comment section? Let's talk about all our E3 stuff there, and we'll keep the chat going on Facebook as well.
Yeah, definitely. And on, you know, well, as much as you can on Twitter. So we are Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Famicom Dojo on Twitter. The PowerCast is going to be releasing an episode actually one day ahead of us with more E3 stuff, probably just the Tuesday stuff, because I think they're recording on Tuesday. So we'll have one more day of stuff and come out one more day before us. So if you want to listen to more E3 coverage that way, I highly recommend going to the Power TV. I'm sure I'll link that in the show notes too, because it'll be out by the time our show is out. But yeah, please leave us a comment. Let us know what you think about these topics. If you think it's going to be an issue for blowing it out of proportion, or what else you've heard since E3 has ended, by the time you'll be able to make a comment about what you think we've said impacts what you've learned already.
And for those of you, the one of you who donated to our DLC campaign,
yes, we will keep a running tally.
Who knows? It's still open right now, yep. And probably in about 2 weeks we'll do an episode that incorporates all the suggestion,
yep,
that was put forth in, yep, those comments.
We'll do a special episode just for you, the listeners, because we're overdue. You know, we missed about 7 weeks this year of shows, and episode 50 should have been like back in April. So.
Yes. So if you have anything that you'd like to go into our listener appreciation episode that's coming up, probably episode 51 or 52, please record your message and get it to us, or talk to us through what's that phone number again?
Oh, yeah, 608-492-1923. We have had people call in. We haven't shared the messages yet. They will be in that episode that we're talking about.
I'm looking forward to hearing those as,
yeah,
well.
Same here. Including one guy who sent in a picture of his kid wearing, like, a very young child wearing a Famicom Dojo shirt, which you can buy at the Zazzle store. That is our store. So you can feel free to make your own shirts based on those designs and not feel like you're ripping us off.
Yeah. That is incredible. Okay.
Isn't it? So
one of our fans, their kid, is wearing a Famicom Dojo t-shirt. Now, my kid is not wearing a Famicom.
Nor is mine, but now that I've seen this, I'm making him a onesie, assuming they have those available.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. My wife's like, you have those? And I'm like, we have those? I'm totally getting one for Sarah. And looking forward to next time at the Famicom Dojo is closed.
Man, it was perfect right up until the...
Famicom Dojo.
Oh my god, the Dreamcast is the Wii Pad.
Yeah.
Except the Dreamcast had way smaller little screen.